If you are enjoying this program and the others that Knowledge for Life produces, then please consider following us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeart Podcast. Your support means a lot. Please drop a comment in the section below and share with family, friends, and associates. Thank you for your support.
Your greatly beloved, the God Himself, to come and set the earth for us.
Let's have a round of applause for the messenger of Allah.
Everywhere you hear him, listen to him. Everywhere you see him, look at him. Everywhere he advised you to go, go. Everywhere he advised you to stay from, stay from. So we are thankful to Allah for this great helper of mine, Minister Farrakhan. And I say continue to hear our Minister Farrakhan.
So those of you who thought you would come out here to see a weak, fragile, decrepit Farrakhan, I want you to look again. I'm here and I'm strong. And I will look down on all of my enemies, for he promised me that sit down at my right hand while I make all your enemies your footstool.
In the past, we found where God in the history, when he got tired of people being so wicked and so far off from the love and worship of him, he raised right up among that people a prophet. And that prophet began to warn the people of a terrible destruction coming upon you. If you don't believe what I have received from God, the same thing is here today. You hear and you see many changes coming to pass throughout the world of man. You never saw it, nor have you ever heard any such thing going on. Today you can listen to your radios, look at your TVs, and you see things and you hear things that you never have seen and heard before. This is due to the removal of a world and setting up a new world on the old foundation of the other, which has been removed. We no more can accept the guidance of this world because it is torn down. The people have become so dissatisfied with the white man's world that they too, being white, would like to remove it.
Dietary teaching that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave to us. In How to Eat to Live, Volumes 1 and Volumes 2, most people call this book How to Eat to Live, which is correct. That's fine. But what they leave out generally is the fullness of the title. The fullness of the title says, from God in person, Master Far Muhammad. And then it says, by Elijah Muhammad, messenger of Allah. Notice his title, messenger of Allah. So isn't it interesting that this scripture talking about Elijah will be located in the book of Malachi, which means my messenger. And Malachi, the prophet, is telling us to look out and look for a man named Elijah. Are you with me? It is also interesting that the prophecy of Elijah in the book entitled My Messenger comes about in the fourth chapter. This number four is very unique to the black man and woman of North America. Wasn't it the number four that was present in the Abraham promise that God made to Abraham? When we go to the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis, the chapter is entitled, listen very carefully, God's Covenant with Abram. And in Genesis chapter 15, verse 13, it says, then he, God talking, said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them for how long? 400 years.
Assalamu alaikum. I am your brother, student minister Darnell Muhammad, a student in the ministry class under the divine professorship of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Welcome once again to another edition of a program entitled My Walk with Jesus as a Muslim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. We are thankful to this one God for his many mercies and blessings. We are thankful to God for his intervention in the affairs of others in the form of his prophets. We thank him for Musa and or Moses and the Torah. We thank him for Isa and or Jesus and the gospel. We thank him for Muhammad and the revelation of the Holy Quran. However, I would be remiss in my duty as a black man in America if I did not thank this one God for his intervention in our affairs. He did not send a prophet or a messenger per se. He came to us. He intervened in our affairs himself, demonstrating what true loves look like, personified in his person. And that one that I speak of is none other than Master Far Muhammad, who fulfilled the book of scripture written in the 24th chapter, the 27th verse of Matthew, for his lightning shineth out of the east, even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We thank this one God for coming among us, searching among us, finding one worthy among us. And on this day, or I should say yesterday, one was born, a Georgia-born black man that fulfilled that scripture in Malachi, the fourth chapter and the fifth verse. Behold, I will send you Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And here we are today celebrating him. His name, his word is out there now, but it would not be out there were it not for one that he, Master Farad Muhammad, came, raised this man that recognized him immediately. And from the spiritual DNA of the two of them, they left with us a divine leader, teacher, guide, brother and friend, their Messiah, our Jesus. I greet you in their names, in our nation's greeting of peace, of Assalamu Alaikum. We have a jam-packed program for you this evening, and we have a young man. And the reason why this young man is so important, he's important for many reasons, but he's most important because he has a bald head and he dared to come on my program this evening with a bald head looking better than me. But I'm going to forgive him for that because the information he's about to deliver is so pertinent, so salient. And we want to welcome to the program this evening our brother, our friend, Brother Sean Ali. Assalamu alaikum, my brother. Thank you.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you for our invitation and coming on the program.
Yes, sir. Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it. All praise be to Allah.
Thank you for accepting. A couple of questions, Brother Sean, before we get started. First of all, I would like for you to tell us a little bit about yourself and what attracted you, what made you accept the teachings and the guidance of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad under Minister Farrakhan's leadership. What brought you this way, number one? But before you answer that question, there are two qualifying questions you must answer for us that we ask of every guest to qualify them to come on the program. And that is, what did the first God have for dinner? And what is the power behind the sun? And why did Master Farad Muhammad caution the messenger on pressing him about that question? I'm just kidding, brother.
I was thinking too, sir. Praise be to Allah.
We normally ask that off air, but
I just
had to get that one in there.
Yes, sir.
But my brother, what brought you this way? What piqued your interest in coming aboard and following the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan?
Great question, and thank you, beloved. I was brought up in my father, he was pro-black. He didn't necessarily identify with a particular organization like the Black Panthers or the Nation, or any figures like Malcolm or anything like that. But he always instilled in us blackness.
Yes.
You know, when he showed us, you know, we moved from DC to Southern Maryland and to an all white neighborhood. And I saw him defend us. You know, so coming up, we went into the military, me and my older cousins. We were all black minded. So, and this is 91, and we were tired. We were in the midst of the police beating us. So when, especially in PG County in that DC area, we were getting beat for, man, they were putting the dogs on us and everything. So we were like, hey, you know, we're going to fight back. So all of us went into different branches of the military to learn how to fight.
We came home,
and some of them changed the genders, and I didn't. And I ended up in prison, not for a black on black crime, but trying to fight my enemies.
So
I'm in prison, feeling like a political prisoner. I'm not in there remorseful or any. I'm in there like, I did my duty. And my first 6 months, I had a cell buddy. And for whatever reason, and he was nowhere into a righteous lifestyle. But for whatever reason, he played a tape of the minister for me. And I fell in love. This was 1992. I'm in Hagerstown, Maryland, sitting in the jail cell, 19 years old. And I heard it and I was like, oh my God. And I immediately switched my religion to the Nation of Islam and I never looked back. All praises, you know, and I spent 12 years in prison.
Do you recall the tape you heard?
No.
The title of it?
Because, no, I don't. The tape, he didn't have the name of it.
Do you recall any aspects of what the subject might have been, what the minister might have spoke to at all?
No.
Okay. Okay.
The
bottom line is it made you come this way. That's all that really matters.
Because he was saying the black man is God.
Okay. Okay.
He was saying, that was the part of me that I was missing because we weren't instilled in the church. We went to church, but he didn't give us none of that. So I didn't have nothing to really take out of me. I was trying to fill up. So when I heard that voice, and I heard and I'm like, oh, we're gods. So now as I sign up, I'm getting the message to the black man. Our Savior has arrived, the fall of him.
Yes, sir.
It's like, wow.
All praise be to Allah.
Yes, sir. All praise be to Allah.
I hear that you, and I saw some of the clips from some of your earlier programs and things that you do. And one of the most inspiring things I saw as you broke down the heart, blood pressure, the systolic and diastolics of the heart and what they both mean and their effect on all of us when you talk about checking blood pressure. And I was really impressed with that puzzle-like a body cadaver where you could actually open up the thing and pull out different parts. That's one of the things I want to get myself because it becomes a great teaching tool when you talk about how the human body is actually the form of government that it will be like in the hereafter, for a lack of a better expression. But could you tell us, brother, in your studies, in your time, how to eat to live, how can we use it scientifically and then practically as you explained it in some of your videos and its effect on us, exercise, how to eat to live, exercise, how all of that works together is not just some words on some pages, but how do we practically extract how to eat to live and live it daily and apply it daily in our lives.
Yes, sir. Beautiful. In all praises due to Allah, you know, book number one, page 102, it says the main purpose of this teaching, how to eat to live, is to prolong our life. Yes, that God comes in the, according to how to eat to live, that God comes to give the dead life and life more abundantly.
Yes.
But the next, and that's the period, but in the next sentence is, but he cannot do this without regulating our dietary habits.
Yes.
Right. The first sentence of how to eat to live, book number one, is eat to live to bring about a return to long life, to perfection and long life.
Yes.
So when we look at what the purpose of the books are, they can be used for many things, weight loss, overcoming this, overcoming that. But the purpose of the book is to prolong life, is to make, because we were already dying at a fast rate.
Yes, sir.
And we go to page 52 of book one, how to live more than 100 years. And we look at that first paragraph, and he says that Allah, Master Father Muhammad, taught him how to eat to live so that he can teach us, so that he can extend our lives from a short span averaging 62 years to one of 1,000 years, or, and this is the important part, for as long as we desire to live. Yes. And now the next sentence is, he said, there is no set time for us to die. We kill ourselves daily by means of what we think, what we eat, and what we drink. Yes. Right? So if we start there, we have not just the purpose of the book, but we have how do we extract that purpose for ourselves. Yes. Now, if I know that we were already dying young, so the purpose is to extend our lives. Okay, now, the main part of that, and Minister Farrakhan broke it down during the janaza of Minister Rahman,
yes,
where he says that the Holy Quran says the set term is with Allah, and he says, but our messenger said there's no set time to die. We set that time. Yes. By what we do, and he said, we kill ourselves daily, yes, by means of what we think, eat, and drink.
Yes.
So if first I have to figure out how long I desire to live.
Yes.
Because that's what he said Master Prophet Muhammad came to do, to increase our lifespan to one of 1,000, or because everybody doesn't want to live to 1,000 years.
Right.
Right, or for as long as we desire to live. So yes, if sir, I don't know how long I want to live, how can I apply how to eat to live?
Yes, sir.
I know what kind of car I want. I know how much money I got to make, what type of job or income to get it, to get it, and I can go get it. The house, the clothes, the vacation, the yes, marriage. We, for some reason, we still fall for the interpretation that my life and my death is not up to me. When the God that of this particular time says, yes, it is. Because he said there is no set time for
right,
us.
Right.
He said, you kill yourself daily. Right. So if I kill myself daily, in Islam is mathematics. Okay, all I have to do is reverse engineer that. So if I got the power to kill myself daily by means of what I think, eat, and drink, how do I save myself?
Yes.
My thinking, that which will lead to me eating and drinking right. Because yes, he sir, says in yes, a in book one, he says some people write him and say they're not getting the benefits that he's teaching about. And he said it's from the wrong mental food.
Right, right. Exactly.
So that's what Master Prophet Muhammad says. We kill ourselves daily by means of what we think. If I don't think I can live long, my body follows me.
Right.
So if we don't think we can live to 100, 120, 100. He says, page 170, How to Eat to Live, book 2, a diet of navy beans will give you a lifespan of 140 years.
Yes, hey, sir.
If I don't believe that, I won't apply that.
Yes, sir.
You just, because my body will follow my thought process. Brother, so that's how we first begin to extract is how to eat to live. I have yes, to want to live.
Yes, sir.
To apply it.
Yes,
if I
sir,
don't want to live, that's cool. It's not a knock. It's not a knock. Yes, it's not a judgment. It's not a test. It's how we not only save ourselves, but like you said, the main purpose of this book is to prolong our lives. Because the yes, devil sir, can give you the luxury, the money, the friendships, the good homes, but he cannot give you life. The right, devil takes life. You have to give your life for his promises. God comes to give the dead life and life more abundantly, but yes, he sir, cannot do this without excellent, regulating excellent, our excellent, dietary habits.
Thank you, Brother Sean. That is yes, sir, absolutely yes, beautiful. I mean, not only is it scientific, but that I've never quite heard it put just like that. Thank you for that phraseology. At this time, Brother Stephen, is there anybody in the chat or even yourself that may have a question for our brother? he has set the stage that should have really opened up everybody's mind.
Man.
Especially on the way he led in. He leaned hard.
Wow.
That quoting pages, paragraphs, sentences, and did it with a smile and did it with the energy like he'd been living it like that.
Absolutely.
That's how he speak it so strong, like he'd been trying that himself.
Yes, sir. First, I want to start off Bismillah Rahman Rahim and greet you, brother, in the greeting words of peace of Assalamu Alaikum. And thank you once again for accepting our offer to come on here. And, you know, now that we have you on here, we're so happy. I mean, because like student minister said, you broke down certain aspects of how to eat to live that really I think many of us have maybe not even heard before. I wanted to ask you about a sedentary lifestyle that many of us are living because of, you know, the internet, you know, we're looking at our phones and things like that, or just because we're in a work environment where we sit. So how dangerous is a sedentary lifestyle and what can we do to, you know, get our bodies moving?
Great, brother. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for that question. Because we have to understand original people. We have to understand what the requirements of life are. And sunlight, breathing properly, exercise, and rest. Without these four things, this is how we decrease the energy. And now we have to go to food and water. Like right now, they got a vitamin D supplement, which is sunlight. So see, when we take when the messenger says fasting is our cure, for 90%, that's you. Fasting is just the act of doing nothing. It ain't something special. I'm just not eating, right? So if I'm not eating, I have five other senses: sight, hearing, smell, and touch, that they don't lose. They increase to compensate for the loss of taste, right? If you lose your sight, your hearing increases, your touch increases, because this is how the body works. So when we look at the first God creating himself, the messenger says we don't know how that Adam got there, but we know it wasn't moving until the God moved. So that's the first law of physics, is motion. Everything in our body is in motion. The cells are in motion. The atoms are in motion. We got joints and ligaments, tendons that are created to be in motion. It's nothing stiff on us except for our bones, and they are spongy like. They're not supposed to be stiff and brittle. So when we look, the more we get away from the sunlight, the exercise, the rest. Now the only other way I can get the elements that my body would create from exercise is from food. If I don't go out in the sun, the only way I can replace that is from food. So when we're looking, that's one of the things that make a sedentary lifestyle dangerous, is because they measure it during the daytime. We have the circadian rhythm, which connects us to the universe. When the part of the earth we are on rotates into the sunlight, and they call that the daytime, our atoms automatically speed up. We automatically have a natural inclination to go outside, to wake up, to move. And now as the part of the earth we are on rotates away from the sun into nighttime, the reverse happens. We have that natural inclination to sit down and to rest and repair. When we fight that and we sit during the day, that's where a sedentary lifestyle is measured at. How long you sit during the daytime. So the rule is, for every 30 minutes that you sit, you need to get up and move for at least 5 minutes. I teach my clients to set their alarm. I had a patient that had a triple bypass. She called me. And she was crying. After 4 days, they release you. And she said, they want me to get up every 10 minutes. She called me crying. She said, I can't, I meant so much because she was an older lady.
Right.
But her instructions was every 10 minutes, you have to get up.
Mm.
This is after a triple bypass. So look at us that's never had any type of bypasses
right.
or got that far. How often should we get up? See, and that changed my perspective when I had her as a client, because she was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. And it was such a struggle for her, but it made me understand that importance of it even more. So like I said, I tell my clients, set your alarm every 15 minutes when it go up, just stand up. Mm. If you can't go nowhere, you have to get up out of that seated position, because when you're seating, like when you're, if most of us, when we're sitting, we're not sitting right.
Mm.
So when you go to take your blood pressure, they have you sitting a certain position, right? Because if you're not in that position, you're pinching up nerve or arteries, nerves, veins, and you're limiting blood. That's why the legs fall asleep. They're not asleep. They're dead.
Wow.
It's not, they don't, legs and arms, when your fingers, that's death. You cut off oxygen and life to them. You lucky you saved them and brought them back.
Mm.
So that's the importance of getting up, creating that blood flow, opening up those veins, those arteries, the spinal column. You know, we crush all of the internals when we're sitting wrong. So it increases digestion. You know, and that's what makes sitting down so, or part of it, that makes it so dangerous.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask
Thank
you a
you,
question, Brother Sean. Mm-hmm. In terms of the lettering after your name, BSHCNSLMT, what does that stand for?
Bachelor's of Science in Health, Certified Nutrition Specialist. What was the other one?
LMT.
Licensed Massage Therapist.
Love it. Love it.
I have more, but those are the three that I'm using currently.
Brother, understand.
Yes, sir. And yes, sir. Yes, but,
by
yes,
by
yes,
just sir. Your comments, I know you should have more. You probably should have A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, and T. B, W, X, and Y, and Z. Now I've said my ABCs.
Right.
Tell me what you think of me. Yes, sir. Yes, love it, man. Love it. Go ahead, Brother Stephen.
All right. We have Brother Marcel. Go ahead, Brother Marcel.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Sean. Assalamu alaikum.
Got a little echo.
He's up in the mountains, man.
Right.
Doing the Adon. That's the echo.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Brother Marcel, ask your question.
Mike just had to mute.
Unmute your mic, Brother Marcel.
Yep.
Brother Marcel, ask your question.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, you got an echo. I don't know what you're on, but you got a serious echo.
Well,
how about now, Brother Minister?
There you go.
There you go. Ask your question.
Okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm sitting here next to Brother Rodney, and we was having some Bluetooth back.
Uh oh.
Yes, sir.
Turn your volume up. Turn your volume up.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, let me go in a different room.
Yeah, it's a different room.
Please, please.
That'll be fine.
Concerning the initial statement you made, Black man, about page 52 and how to eat to live. You know, the devil is, he also studies the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And he has also read what you quoted. About there is no set time for us to die, that we kill ourselves daily by means of what we think, what we eat, and what we drink. And that's why the devil has stepped in and become the masters of what we eat, what we think, and what we drink. Matter of fact, in that second paragraph, brother, it says, we have been taught what to eat and what to drink by a people who has never obeyed the law or religion of Allah God. So my question to you, brother, is if we really want to benefit from these teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as taught from God in person, what do we need to do as a people to ensure that we get the best, the fullest benefit of the teachings of how to eat to live from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, sir?
Great question. Yes, sir. I will begin with the messenger says that we can't charge the government for allowing the sale of such detrimental food and drink. Mm. He said we blame the person that's buying it, the foolish. As a matter of fact, he says the foolish buyer, right? So I would begin with a conversation with us saying, okay, let us first stop saying our food supply, because we are only 15% of the population. This is a majority rules country. So they aren't making anything for us. We go find their stuff. Like the Whole Foods, I went into one and they got a mission statement of the guy saying why he started is supposed to be, right? But it wasn't for us. So if we want to separate or continue to suffer, and that part of that separation is let me grow my food.
Yes.
Because I can grow food out of a cup, those same cups that the rappers got. You can grow tomatoes, spinach, you can grow almost everything out of those cups. Hmm. So we don't need acreage. We don't need a lot. We just have to do something, because here as a certified nutrition specialist, right? Where you get your food, if 100% of your food supply comes from somebody else, it doesn't matter who it is, then you're enslaved to that.
Right.
So you're at the behest of that person. The plant, they have, it's called the triboelectric effect. And this is when two objects of matter touch, they exchange electrons. Yes. So when you don't, and the plants are called the producers, they give us the oxygen and the nutrients. Their job is to take in our CO2 and give us back O2. So in that process, they breathe in our waste and give us back life. So if we are touching, like if I grow a tomato plant, I'm touching it. This tomato plant is taking in my electrons, my DNA. It gives me back it fixes it. Mm-hmm. This is a part of the plant. It takes in CO2, fixes it, and gives us back O2. So if we grow something, the messenger, he speaks about the relationship between us and food, but he doesn't use language like food is our medicine. He doesn't use some of these popular slogans. In fact, he has almost the reverse, where he's saying the less you eat, the better you will be. Because one meal a day, page 53, after we go to page 52, when we go to page 53, one meal a day will only get us to 120 years. Hmm. Then he says, well, what about one meal every other day? He says, you'll live twice as long and you'll be less sick. And he says, what about one meal every 3 days? He said, brother, you'll never be sick. Therefore, you'll never die until you get tired of living and want to break the dietary laws like we used to do. So we have to get back to that mindset. Okay, if it doesn't, and I love our farms. I order from our farms, right? But how much of my food supply comes from somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
That's how, because I can only live as long as my food supply. I can only be as healthy as if I don't know how healthy my, it didn't look, if you grow tomatoes, you will learn that those pretty tomatoes aren't the best tomatoes.
Right.
You will learn that that scarred up tomato with stretch marks and plant, if the bug's trying to eat it, I want to eat it. When you see those cucumbers, they nice and pretty in the grocery store. When you grow cucumbers, they don't come out that way.
Right.
So we gain that introspect of how to eat to live. Mm-hmm. Now you know what I mean? Like how the part of that how is growing your own food. He says that.
Right.
We need to secure some of this earth so we can produce some of this good food for ourselves.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Excellent.
Yeah, I wanted to just veggie back off of what you were just saying, is that many of us, you know, we may live in apartments, but like you're saying, we can have vertical gardens within our apartments, can we?
Yes. Or you can sprout. The last 3 years I've been on survival living. Like the prepping and the preppers and all. So I've gotten myself and my family used to eating. We've been foraging because most, even though I live in a townhouse, I don't have acres. I can't grow nothing out there. And my HOA limits what I can grow in the front. So we work around that. And we also recognize that when the pilgrims came here, it was already indigenous people here that taught them the indigenous plants that were here that they were consuming. Some of those plants, a lot of those plants are still here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's
they're here, baby, in our garden, right? I mean, in our backyard many times.
Dandelions, plantains, like these are food items that the indigenous people were using when the pilgrims got here. Like, it's not just weeds. These are examples of what the original people were using. Mm. You know, and I'm just saying we surrounded, like, but we have to get that mindset that this is not our food supply.
Right.
Absolutely. This is not this is not ours. This is theirs. Let me create our food supply.
And you know what? One of the things that you can even almost classify it as food, because just like you were saying, one of the telltale signs that you're eating food is that if you drop it on the ground, you'll see bugs, go to it. But there's some memes that we see out where you see ants going around an apple or ants going around certain type of foods because it's not even, they don't even recognize it as being food.
Can I address that real quick, beloved?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
See, now, original people, we made the sun to feed us. Along the way, we know that according to the teachings of the messenger, once the moon happened, that knowledge was taken away. So we was on a path to becoming weak enough so Yaqub could come and we could have this operation and get to the point we're at now. So we're looking from the original people. We created the sun as the white man science teaches that the sun is the sole source of energy in our universe, that it puts Pluto 4,500,000,000 miles away into orbit and in life. So this is how we naturally supposed to feed ourselves. In the absence of the sun, that's where we get food. Because photosynthesis is what gives the plant their energy and their nutrients. That's only sunlight in chemical form. So when we are looking at that, the sun kills our open enemy, the mm-hmm. colored man, the colored people. So they, just like in the byproducts of the sun, that tomato grown out there, that watermelon, so they can't eat a lot of that food. So they have to grow these hothouse tomatoes, these hothouse cucumbers without the sunlight, creating their own light so they can eat similar food without the negative side effects that gives us life. Because God is at war with them. So they, a lot of that, I'm not knocking, and I don't, and I'm not going against any of the weaponized and those, any of those under teaching. I don't fathom the depth of, I can't fathom the depths of this Satan. Right. So, but I'm saying from a nutritional side,
yes, sir.
They had to create a different food supply because our, one of the first things that you do in war is you take your enemy's food supply.
Right.
You limit that because now that you weakening them. So if that's what naturally they had to create a lot of these foods because they can't eat our food. Our, just like today, they'll go to one of our cookouts. It might taste good. Later on that night, their stomach be bubbling and they chicken ritual, right?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you, brother.
Brother, excellent. Yes, sir. Excellent. Anyone else in the chat, Brother Stephen?
Not at this time, so I'll go ahead. Of course, you know, I always have thousands of questions.
By all means, let it loose, let it loose.
Now,
give it 20 questions at one time.
Right. I'm gonna let, now, this one, of course, is many of us have never really even heard of this system, the lymphatic system. What is the lymphatic system and how can we take care of it?
Great. Thank you. And this goes into fasting as our cure, because we know that it's the, can the devil fool the Muslim? Not nowadays, but we know that he fooled us with an interpretation. So we have a lot of interpretations about the lymphatic system, but mostly it's behind eat this food or do this. And that's, if we look at anatomy, physiology, the first thing that God did was study himself. If we study the lymphatic system, it's not like our cardiovascular system. It doesn't have the heart pumping it. The lymphatic system moves off of gravity and our muscle contraction. So if I get up and I go like this, I'm moving the lymphatic fluid in my arm. I'm pushing it. This is that LMT, the licensed massage therapist. One of the therapies I do is the lymphatic massages. Because if the people that are sedentary, they aren't contracting their muscles. So they go to me or another massage therapist and we mechanically push that fluid for them. You know, so that's where you, that, but it's, some people call it the garbage pan. That's not what it is. I mean, it's the body, the blood vessels, the arteries and veins can only hold so much fluid. And it's not one tube, it's cells linked together. So just like where my fingertips would be where the cells are linked together. Well, things can squeeze out of those cells, fluid and other material. So the lymphatic system, it follows those, our arteries and veins. And when anything comes out of that, it pulls it up and it puts it back into circulation. But if we're not moving, you can't eat your way into lymphatic health. That's just doesn't even make sense, because his job is to pick up extra fluid. Like, that's his job. If you stop, if you stop eating, it has nothing extra to pick up.
Yes, sir. We have a question.
Oh, no, love it, man. Love it.
And I'll go ahead and put the question up from Brother Griot, I think, the Great. And it says, what are some meals we should be eating?
That depends on how long you want to live. Everything has to be asked. When you do anything, the messenger said we were lacking the knowledge of cause and effect.
Yes, sir.
So if you don't, it's life or death. Everything I do is going to increase my life or bring premature death.
Yes.
If I eat anything, I have to ask myself, does my body want it or need it? Why am I eating it?
Yes, sir.
this is as a herbologist, this is one part of that they ask you. Ask your, if you get a client coming to you saying, I want to take this, take, why do you think you need to take that? Right. So if we look at How to Eat to Live, he says milk and bread will keep you alive indefinitely. Come on. Right? So we know a diet of navy beans will get you 140. Right? He said he could take a baby, start him on the bean soup, get him to 240. So how long do you want to live will determine, because he only mentioned a few foods that will prolong our life. He gave us a list of foods that were safe for us to eat. But when it came to prolonging life in numbers, these numbers, bread, milk, navy beans. That's where the last 3 years I've been on that 140-year challenge.
Now, can you help us? Because I think a lot of people, when we talk about milk, we begin to talk about lactose intolerance and some other things, you know what I mean? So can you talk about milk and what is the difference between what we get at the grocery store and raw milk?
Well, I mean, and that's the description of raw milk isn't in How to Eat the Meat. He says pure milk.
Pure milk.
So he used that, you know, and he was like, boil it to make it pure if you don't know the source, you know, but if you know, so when we're looking, milk is a meal by itself. Most of us have poor combination, the how part, you know, we got the what to eat. We don't know the how to eat. So milk really should be consumed by itself as a standalone. We should be eating in courses, right? So, and he says, don't begin your meal with hard foods. So that right there is indicating we got courses. So we should always eat the watery, easily digested foods first. Give it like fruit. Most fruit is out of the stomach within 30 minutes, right? So if my first course is fruits, I wait 15 to 30 minutes, then I have my second, which would be a harder to digest meal. But milk, you know, we should, if, you know, when we consume that, we should strive to consume it by itself.
Okay.
As a course by itself. And just to, because when we're dealing with digestive issues, the first thing usually is weak, poor combination. Not that the food is good or bad, because if we're eating it with two or three things, how will we know what the food is? You know, like most of us eat milk with cereal or eat it. So we don't know if it's the milk by itself. Because we never drink milk by itself.
Right? Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
If that makes sense.
Yes, sir. Makes sense.
I wanted to ask about, man, there's so many questions and I know we so much limited time. You know, I like to watch the fights, you know, boxing. I like to watch, you know, mixed martial arts and lactic acid. What is it? They always talk about lactic acid building up in the muscles.
Great, great question. When you move too much, oxygen and glucose are our primary fuel sources. They make ATP, but you cannot breathe fast enough to keep up with those type of activities. So after 2 to 3 minutes, your body will switch from aerobic with oxygen to anaerobic without oxygen. So now it's using another fuel source to create energy, lactate acid. So the longer you are in that activity, the more your body is creating it, the more it's building up. So it's called DOMS, D-O-M-S, delayed onset muscle soreness. This is where, because we are symmetrical. So if you're doing like a in the gym and you're doing curls and your one side hurts, That's usually the lactate acid buildup. Because if you're doing symmetrical work, both arms should hurt at the same time.
Okay.
So, but that's where your body is in an anaerobic state. And that's dangerous. That's all of that high intensity, man, that's where that.
Okay.
So it's better not to do the weight, but more of an aerobic kind of thing. You're using your own body weight.
Well, you stop after you do a 2 to 3 minute assertion and then you go back and let your body catch.
Gotcha.
Beautiful. You know what I mean? So, and right, that's the rule. That's what the science says. So, like if I'm walking or running, I'll go fast for 2 to 3 minutes, then I'm gonna 2 to 3 minutes go slow to let my body come back, and that's to keep myself out of an anaerobic state.
Gotcha.
Right.
Love it. Yes.
Because oxygen, I mean, cancer loves that. Cancer and all of those, anything harmful loves when you put yourself in an anaerobic state, because your body cannot achieve homeostasis. So there's no balance. So now your body is literally in the stress response, trying to get back to the balance. Mm. So it's going to stop everything else just to get back to that balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, and if you feel that soreness 2, 3, 4 days later, that's how you were in that state of imbalance for that time. That's how weak you've made yourself.
Mm. Yes, sir.
Okay. Interesting. Now you talked about, go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, that's why I'm feeling sore right now. Okay. I got you.
Now you talked about stress, the silent killer. And we see on your, and I put your link tree up so people can follow you, but yoga, help us to understand some of the best stress relievers, and are there different types of stress?
Yes. I wish I had found yoga. I just found yoga this year. That's why I'm posting about it now, because I didn't know about it. Mm-hmm. I knew about it. I wasn't practicing. So I turned 50 this year. When I turned 47, I injured my rotator cuff. Mm-hmm. So 47, 48, 49, I was in a state of disrepair. I had no range of motion. I couldn't do this. I couldn't put it behind. I was in pain. So my body went into a state of disrepair. I'm gaining weight because I can't barely move. Right. So I'm like, man, I can't go into 50 like this. I can't, but I couldn't normally work out. So I went to Tai Chi and yoga, which are low impact, but they are concentrating on increasing the energy. So that's, and then, like I said, from that yoga, I mean, the purpose of it, like I say, is not just to help you to exercise. Because remember, we weren't never in a state of not exercise. We just really getting there as the original people. Coming out of slavery, we didn't, we were in shape physically. Mm-hmm. We just coming into that. Mm-hmm. But yoga was designed to what they call the chi, or the vital life force, that energy, that life energy that makes you lit, makes your heart beat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Makes your lungs, because we don't make the heart beat. We don't make our lungs inflate and deflate. That's something, that's the life energy. You know what I mean? So that's how you increase that. And I'm telling you, beloved, I wish I had found that 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Yes, sir.
Man.
Do you go to a practitioner or you just look at a video?
It's all me. Because it's all us anyway. Right. And I'm not necessarily, like, what is the birth record of said other than Islam? We know that everything that came after Islam is only a variation of Islam, because you have to be. Just like the color people, you came from us. You a variation of us, you know. Right. So it's when we look, if I go back past why they are doing it, you feel me? Because they are doing it, the Hindus and the right. over there in Sri Lanka, they're doing it for a completely different reason than what right. we were doing it at.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just like martial arts and everything else that may have trickled down to other people. So I went to why we were doing it.
Yes.
And in that, I didn't limit myself to their expressions of it.
Oh, got you.
So I might, because I'm original. So who is the original man? He's the maker, the owner, cream of the planet Earth, God of the universe. If I'm not making it, I can't own it. So I might want to make a new routine.
Yes, sir. Yes,
you know what I mean? So that's a part of that as well is, I'm using what's already here to create specifically for us.
Yes, sir.
We're at the bottom of the hour. We just wanted to ask if it's possible for you just to stay maybe about 15 more minutes.
Oh, as long as you want. I got you, bro.
We got some questions that have come in. I'm gonna bring Brother Rodney on, and he would like to ask a question.
Yes.
Go right ahead, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, brother. Well, I'd like to thank you for coming. But in How to Eat to Live, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad tells us that we should cook our bread twice. And he also said that we should cook our meat twice. Could you expound on that a little?
Yes, the bread part. I've tried to follow it exactly as he describes it. And it's a little, I can't do it exactly the way, but he explains to us the takeaway is to make sure it's completely done. Right. So I will usually make bread to like today. I make my bread Sunday or Monday, and I don't start eating it until the next day. And I cook it before I eat it again. Right. So because of my living where I live at in an apartment, I'm trying to do the best under the instructions. I don't have a full the type of kitchen that I want, you know, so I try to do what I can do out of the instructions. But the main part is to make sure the bread is done, you know, and they make at least a day old because he said don't eat it the same day. So that's, you know, I just to be transparent and to answer your question honestly.
Yes.
I don't eat any meat. So and I don't recommend any of us eating meat. Should you do it, then just be mindful, you know, and remember that at one point in time we didn't eat beef, chicken, and fish at the same time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like if we had fish this day, then the next. So we just got to be careful with those combinations, and because that's where the acids come from.
Right.
Cholesterol right. only comes from meat products.
Right.
You know,
and mucus
you
can't, and all that stuff.
Right. Right. So certain ailments in the body, like gout, you can only get uric acid buildup from animal meats and products.
Yes, sir. Thank you, now, sir.
Brother mentioned gluten, and a lot of people are being told to get off of gluten. What is that?
That is in my book. I wish I had my book. My nutrition book said that gluten is a European problem. And they almost at one point in time did not diagnose non-Europeans with gluten issues. Because they have their digestive system is weak. So we, you know, the messenger asked, what is the mental and physical power of a real devil? And we learned through the grafting process, mentally and physically, they've been made weaker. And that's their digestive system. So from that, gluten is natural. I mean, a lot of that is combination. If I'm eating bread or that type of product with something else, Those were stamped. Bread is a meal. Like, you look at those old movies, right? The medieval or the cowboy. They had bread. They camp. They break a piece of and pass it around. That was the food. Bread and water in prisons. Like, you know, it was it was historically a standalone meal. Bread was a meal by itself. So when we look at some of these issues, we have to make sure we are eating it properly. And you know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Okay. Our brother has another question, and it's a good one. He's asking the question, what is the best milk to drink that we can buy in the store?
The one that you got available. I mean, because we're not all in the same area. So we all do not have the same food, same, you know, brands and things like that. And some of these brands are area specific. Like, they make certain recipes and ingredients for those areas. So, you know, what I have here might not be the same what you have there, you know, and it might be from a different plant, you know, or, you know what I mean, with the same name. So you would have to really, like I said, if I'm putting something in me, you know, making sure that it's bringing me life and not contributing to my death.
So like what you're saying, breaking it down, is that we really, because many of us, we just go to the store and we just, you know, purchase whatever fancies our eye, right? And we never really read the ingredients that are on the on the box in some cases, which means most likely that it's highly processed. Can you talk about that, processed foods versus, you know, natural raw foods?
That's like, I want to make butter, but I can't find heavy cream that's just milk. It's got that carrageenan in it and this, and like, what I mean, like,
right,
you just, like, if you go look at salted butter versus unsalted butter, salted butter will have cream, salt, and that's it. Unsalted butter will have cream, flavor. So it'll be cream, and then the next ingredient will be flavor. Like, why would you put that in the unsalted versus the, so like, I'm just saying that as an example. I have to buy, I don't have to, but I buy butter because I can't find non-processed heavy cream to make my own butter. You know what I mean? So that we are, and, you know, we're in their world, you know, so it's, you know, it's the what I use. There's two places in How to Eat to Live. The messenger says every meal we eat has poison in it. So we eat no more than one meal a day to allow our bodies to get rid of the poison. So I take that to, there is no such thing as good food in my mind. Like, I move forward with that, all of that superfoods and this, because every meal we have that we eat has poison in it. So it doesn't matter if I grow it. So if I don't eat one meal, at least no more than one meal a day, I'm poisoning myself. It doesn't matter. You know, so that's how I start. Because, like I said, if I know that regardless to what I eat, there's a certain amount of poison in it, I'm going to make sure that, yes, I'm eating the best possible, but I need to make sure my body has time to get rid of the poison so it doesn't accumulate.
Yes, sir.
Right. So that's how we counterbalance while we still living and have limited access to certain types of food.
Understood.
I'll bring Brother Marcel. He has another question I think he wants to ask. I'll bring you on, Brother Marcel. Go right ahead, brother.
You may have to unmute yourself.
If he's not able.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, sir. Brother Sean, why did Master Father Muhammad make the navy bean a staple part of our diet, brother?
That's a great question. If we look at the name. We didn't name it the Navy Bean, right? So the people that did, they considered it one of the singular food sources that could sustain them on the ship. So when they was taking these long journeys, you know, you got the perishables, but when you're looking at the pantry and the staple goods, it was like this, at that time, this was one of those singular foods that had enough in it that they didn't need anything else to sustain the crew. And the United States Navy did pretty well, right? They went along and did some things, you know, that was good for America, you know. So that's when we are looking at, okay, a singular food, that you are what you eat. The Navy bean, the beans are pulses, right? They're considered the pulse. It's a dry item that all you have to do is to add water to it, and it's life now. We are dry people, the dry bones in the so it's like symbolic to a lot, but on a physical, practical side, it's one singular food that has enough value in nutrition that you really don't need anything else.
Yes sir.
Like I say, it allowed the United States Navy to conquer and do what they did. And they still have it today. You go to the Pentagon, they still got Navy bean soup on the menu. You go to the Navy, they still associate with the Navy bean today.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So I have two last questions. One of the questions that I have is, and I'm not going to take it personal, but you talk about three things that differentiate a young body from an older body, and I'm prepared to hear the news, so give it to us.
Flexibility, balance, and mobility. And mobility and quality of life go hand in psychologically. When a person loses their mobility, that's when their quality of life decreases and they soon die. That's when they're in the nursing home, because you can't take, nobody has the devotion to really take care of somebody else like you could take care of yourself, because they have their own life to live, right? So the three physical areas, flexibility. You come out of the womb, you can almost take a baby and fold them in half. You know, you could take the bones, or you brittle, and I mean, are nice and flexible. The ligaments, tendons are nice and flexible. We learn how to achieve balance. That's not one of our first struggles and goals, to get that balance to hold ourselves up, because we're dealing with gravity. So as we don't exercise and improve in those areas, gravity is what's pulling us down to the grave. You know, and we those ligaments, those tendons, those areas, those joints, they become brittle. So now simply walking, I can break my hip. You know, when you watch a baby fall down and they start laughing, you fall down at a certain age. Yeah, I'm falling and I can't get up. You know, so what's the, what happens?
Yes, sir.
We lose those. And that's where yoga, I was suffering from that, beloved. Physically, mentally I'm good, emotionally good, but I hurt myself physically. So I was losing the flexibility, the balance, and the mobility in yoga, tai chi, because it's low impact, and it's, no matter where you're starting at, it's designed to improve those areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it makes it, I ain't felt this young.
Man.
I don't know how I look. I'm saying how I feel and looking able good to move. Yeah, you know, like I wake up with that spring, yes.
You're ready to go. And you can hear it in your presentation.
Absolutely.
All praise is due to Allah.
Yes, sir.
Well.
So you forgot to add one more thing. It increases the spirit, the energy to flow when you speak.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But I try to, I mean, I'm practicing what I preach. Yeah. This is what I learned in my college degree. These are all of the areas that I learned, you know, my course of studies. And I went to college to fix myself.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Because I was like, okay, I already had a lot of business, but I'm like, okay, I can use this FAFSA. What do I want to take? I'm in a state of disrepair. Let me learn something that could fix Brother Sean Ali.
Yes, sir.
So, but in the course of that, I want for my brother that which I want for myself. If yes. I got a bowl of bean soup, you entitled. I ain't got a, you entitled to half of that. I got you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
One last question for me, and I'm finished for tonight. We know, or we've heard about martial arts masters. Well, what is a Rike master?
That's dealing with energy.
Okay.
And the vital life force that we are surrounded by, because everything is energy. Matter is just different forms, sound, light. They're just different expressions of energy. So with Reiki, you learn how to tap into the energy. You become a portal, and I can transfer it to you without draining myself. Like an empath, they use their own energy. So at the end of the session, they're drained because they gave you of themselves. But Reiki allows you to become a conduit where I know we're surrounded by energy. I can tap into it, plug in it, and transfer it to you, and I don't lose anything. In fact, I increase in my own. So that's where it's like, because a lot of the happenings in the body is just simple lack of energy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, but if I don't know how to move or how to create that energy, I'm stuck with getting it from food. So this is where all of these food-based solutions and ideas and herbs and things, people are going all over sea moss and all of these food-based trends.
Mm-hmm.
All of these plants, they get it. They get it from the sun and the earth. If I go out and stand in the sun, I take my shoes off and put it in the earth. I'm just like the plant. Right? So, you know, the cow is outside in the ground. In the sun, you know, anything that most of the things that we consume, they outside where we could be at getting, you know, right. But that's where, like I say, Reiki is just plugging into that life energy that we are surrounded by.
And, you know, that's something that a lot of us, you know, during the pandemic, when they were talking about stay inside, shelter in place, we weren't getting out and getting that, you know, vitamins from the sun. But you also mentioned another thing that many of us don't do, including myself, which is to go outside and to take off our shoes and do what is called, I think it's called grounding or something like that.
Yes, grounding and earthing. And that's where that tribal electric effect comes in, where the objects of matter touch and there's that transference of electrons. Like if you grab an orange and you smell your finger after you put the orange down, it smells like the orange. You transferred electrons. Right. Some of your electrons went to the orange. So, and that's when we look at the earth and how to eat to live. The messenger speaks about us dying and returning back into the material that we are created from. And he says, as long as we can see this material, we know that there's life, right? Available. So when we, that's, if every part of my body comes from the earth. Every, at the bottom, in reflexology, you learn how the map of your body is on the soles of your feet and the palms of your hand, right? So your head, your spine, your internal, like there's a map that shows us this. So when we go out and we ground and we earth and we connect, that's that transference of electrons.
Mm.
So my body is getting the material it's created from.
Wow. Powerful.
With a free radical, you got a free radical and an antioxidant. A free radical is simply an atom with a missing electron. Mm-hmm. So the outer shell of the electrons are always even numbered, except for the first one, which is hydrogen. because it's only one. Every other atom has an even outer shell, so when they bond like that. So a free radical is one that is missing one, so the atoms can't bond. Now it becomes a scavenger, and it goes and it steals an electron, and you have that chain reaction. An antioxidant is an atom with either an extra electron, or it can give one of it without turning into a free radical. We get natural antioxidants from the earth when we stand in there. So when we go out and we stand and we sitting and we frolicking and rolling and tumbling on the earth like we did when we were children, man, we are getting atomic health. We are fixing our atoms, because everything is atoms. So every disease, cancer, every health has to start at an atomic level.
Yes, sir.
Go to the root. We go to the root of things.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. Wow. Well, my brother, thank you so much again for coming and being with us. Most certainly, we will invite you again, inshallah. May Allah bless you and your family and the believers in your area. Please give them from us through you to them. Brother Stephen, at this time, you can take us away.
Yes, sir. Well, before we get on off of here, I wanted to, and Brother Sean, you can stay around, but our brother has been doing such a phenomenal job representing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the teachings of the Nation of Islam, that he is so modest that we wanted to show a clip, because it wasn't an award that you received or a part of.
It was an honorary award for my lifetime of service of 55 years in the Nation of Islam, 45 years under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and a honoree of me being the primary person, and then, of course, other pioneers who helped come back with us both prior to 1975 and after 75 with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yes, sir. So, Brother Sean, we're just going to play this. You don't have to stay around, but we really appreciate you coming on here. And this is one to be studied over and over again. So thank you, brother. We really appreciate you.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, sir, for the invite.
Yes, sir. So we'll go ahead and play this clip, and let's see here. And we'll check this out. Oh, hold on.
He didn't like the fact that he had joined the Nation in the first place, because black people were afraid of all those names like Muhammad. When you mention Muhammad, just that one name would make black people think that's voodoo. And they were afraid of voodoo. Wow. And so when my stepfather would bring stuff home, we would not touch it.
Yes, sir.
As we were going back to the bus stop to go home, we could hear the voice of one of the representatives of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad preaching inside. The door was standing open. The flag was above the door. Muhammad's Holy Temple of Islam, number 43. And a brother with a suit and bow tie, clean, lean, and mean, was standing on the outside. And he bid to us, come in and hear the representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We went in, we sat down. We heard the presentation. This brother was preaching on a variety of things. He talked about Santa Claus and how could he deliver toys to 7.5 billion people all over the world in less than 12 hours, and all of these kinds of things. And some of us don't even have chimneys, and how did he get down there? Then he went from there into Frankenstein, how the black man is put together by many different philosophies, and how we are now a monster walking like a zombie in the world. And at the end of it, the signature question was, how many of you believe what you heard was the truth and good for us as a people? I raised my hand, And then the second question was, if you believe what you heard to be the truth, how many of you want to join and become a part of your nation, the nation of Islam? I raised my hand again, and so did my friend. We left, and of course, 6 months went by. I never did get a chance to get back, even though I meant what I said, but a typical Negro, you know.
We yes, sir.
Still have high school girlfriends, distractions, and street life.
Yes, sir.
If you were involved in. And so after that, a brother who is now my brother-in-law, my wife's brother, he had a friend, and I had a friend named Kevin Muhammad, Kevin King at that time, who approached me one day and said, hey, I know this Muslim brother, you know, and he, man, this guy's deep, man. You need to meet him. You know, you talk about blackness, these brothers is down on it. I said, okay, I'll go. So his older brother, my brother-in-law's older brother, which is also, of course, my brother-in-law, he had a burgundy Fleetwood Brown Cadillac.
And he would go up to,
that's right. Those were the luxury cars of black people back in that day.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
You had the Deuce and a Quarter. You had the Bonneville. You had the 98 that Malcolm X drove.
Man.
And so we went to Mansfield. And to my surprise, the brother of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Minister John Muhammad, was the minister then. And when we walked in, he had his FOI uniform on, his peel box hat. And this brother was a master, literally a master of the Bible story. When he preached on a Bible story, literally without exaggeration, you were there. You were walking in the footsteps of those that he was describing. And it penetrated me deeply because I was a student of scripture. My father was a Baptist preacher and I went to church willingly. I was not like other children who didn't want to go to school or Sunday school. I was up, ready, Bible study, Bible summer camp. I was there, poetry recitals. Donnell was all in. And so when I heard the exegesis of the ministers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I had never heard the interpretation of the scriptures like that. My father was a good preacher, but he never could explain and interpret the scriptures the way the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's representative did. I was sold.
Yes, sir.
Beautiful, brother. Thank you, brother. Yes. I preached. That was beautiful. Yes, sir. Well, we'll go ahead and close it on out.
Yes, sir.
I'll go ahead and close it out here. And so I want to thank everyone once again for tuning in to My Walk with Jesus as a Muslim. Come back every Sunday. Every Sunday, and this is an interactive program, so we invite you to be a part of the program by either writing your questions in the chat or you can come on live. This program is sponsored by Refuge Depot. Refuge Depot is an organization that, you know, as Black people, one of the things that we have to begin to focus on is self-sustaining, being self-reliant on ourselves. And one of the things that we need to do definitely is prepare for emergencies. Winter is coming. So there's a book that we have written and we want to offer that book. It's called Winter Ready. And so that book is going into how to weatherize your car, how to weatherize your home, and what to do if the power goes out, how to stay warm and stay alive. So we're going to go ahead and put that link into the chat, and we urge you to get it. We're going to go ahead and close out with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who we just celebrated his birth anniversary, talking about watch the weather.
So I said to you, because this is necessary, you're in the judgment now. The storms and the earth shaking on the west coast. It's going to move all over the country.
right up and down the center, the people will be heard again. Watch what I tell you, because this is backed up by the Quran. It teaches you that Allah will drive them into the center of the country. These earthquakes going to happen all throughout the country in Illinois. Small ones will come around here, around us, to let you that is little kind of crooked know that you can be gotten too.
Go ahead, dear Holy Father.
But according to the Holy One, the people will be driven from both sides of the country into the center of the country. This is going on now. But I said to you, you make haste and flee to Allah. Flee for your refuge in Him. Nowhere will help you against Him. But I want you to pay good attention at what is going on.
You gotta have knowledge for life.
Thank you for listening to this very informative, insightful program. Please follow, like, and share with family, friends, and associates. Come back every week for a new episode of Knowledge for Life's podcast.
Greetings to you, sisters and brothers. This is Steve Muhammad coming to you from Refuge Depot. As we all know, the weather is extreme. We need to prepare our homes to become a sanctuary and not a cemetery. Please go to refugedepot.com or click in the description below to find all your disaster preparedness items and survival techniques. That's refugedepot.com. Or click in the description below. If you have any questions, please call 937-985-0779 or email refugedepot@gmail.com.